how much a person believes in and loves God and practices his word, how much you do that really determines how well you treat other people and your family and anywhere else. God comes first.
Welcome to Tell Podcasts. You're listening to encouraging words from Pastor Darren, bringing you truth and peace through God's word. In this episode, we talk about our families. What does the Bible say is the key to a loving family? Think, evaluate, learn, lead. T-E-L-L. Tell. Now here's Pastor Darren, showing us how love changes families. Thanks for listening.
Ephesians chapter 6 now, final chapter of Ephesians, the first part. Here's what God says, and all of us are in here somewhere, so listen to these words from God. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Obey them not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not people, because you know that the Lord will reward each one for whatever good they do, whether they're slave or free. And masters, treat your slaves in that same way. Do not threaten them, since you know that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and there's no favoritism with him. That's Ephesians chapter 6. So Grandpa Jack is walking into the courthouse with his wife and their grown son Kurt and his wife Melissa. And little Jack. And they want the same thing from the state of Texas that many other families want from the state of Texas that day. They want a stamp, they want a signature, they want a sealed deal. The family really wasn't expecting a whole lot more from the court proceedings to make little Jack, Kurt and Melissa's officially adopted child. Grandpa Jack wrote about it, and he said when they opened the doors to the courtroom, his breath was taken away. There were about 30 stuffed animals in the front of the courtroom, all fluffy and fuzzy and smiley and brightening the environment of this room. Grandpa Jack and his family, including little Jack, went and sat. They sat down in the front row of the courtroom, and finally they heard the bailiff pronounce their name, and this little family walks forward toward the judge, toward his bench, and the judge in the black robe is sitting on the bench, and he looks down at them, and he says to Kurt and Melissa, "How have things been going?" Because they've been taking care of little Jack now for a few months or so, maybe a year, before wanting to adopt him, as often happens in adoption. They said, "It's fine." And the judge asked if he was healthy, and they said, "Yes." And then he said, "I have three questions for you. Will you love Jack forever? Will you take care of Jack forever? Will you be his mom and dad forever?" Grandpa Jack writes, he's watching his family now, and little Jack is just looking up at the stuffed animals. But Kurt and Melissa, with tears in their eyes, are answering these questions. Well, yes. And Grandpa Jack is thinking of the troubled past of this little boy, and of just miraculous events that took place to connect him with their family, and realizing that little Jack has no clue about any of that. Little Jack doesn't know the details. All little Jack knows is that he is loved and that he is experiencing how love changes families. So kids, I have a question for you. Kids, pay attention here. Here's my question for you. What is something that your mom or dad does for you that shows that they love you. You think of that? Maybe if you have your Cross Kids message notes, write it down on there. And or tell your mom or dad, whoever's closest to you, what you just thought of. When I said, kids, what do mom or dad do that shows that they love you? Even if you're a grown kid, there's some of you out here that's college age. You have this. Tell them. If they're here, tell them. Go ahead. Now, moms or dads, question for you now. So, what they just told you, or if they're not, if your kids aren't here, what you think they might say? Do they understand what it takes as a parent, as a mom or dad, to make happen what they just said they like you doing, like taking me to Disney or, you know? Kids typically, especially the younger they are, they have no clue about the details, the early mornings, the late nights, the hard-earned income, the second job, the second mortgage, the loan officer at the bank, all the personal sacrifices that it takes to be a parent and to show this love. They don't know the details. They just feel loved. And they know that love changes families. That is what God is telling us in Ephesians 6 today. And he's telling us with this really important detail. Like little Jack, like the kids who just reported to you, this is important. When you know that you are loved and you're loved by God himself, it changes you. It changes your relationships. It changes your family. That's the message from Ephesians 6 today. So here, in Ephesians 6, now the Apostle Paul is writing to the church in Ephesus in the first century AD. And he spent the previous 3 or 4 chapters diving down deep into God's word and into doctrine and teaching. And in his later chapters 5 and 6, he gets really practical. So here in chapter 6, this Apostle Paul is directly addressing 4 groups or roles in a family. You remember what they are? Children, parents, slaves, and slave owners or masters. 4 groups. It would take me 30 minutes to unpack in a real good, appropriate way what in the world we should gain from the Bible about its view of slavery. But I'm not going to do that today. But basically, you got to understand this. The Bible does not condone slavery. Slavery was rampant in the Roman Empire in the first century AD. And what God and the New Testament and his Bible writers do is they speak more to the hearts of those who are involved in it. And you heard that in Ephesians 6 here. You heard God speaking to slaves and to masters, more speaking to their heart, not so much in an abolitionist kind of way, trying to get political about it, but it does not condone slavery. And slavery was very different in those days. It wasn't as racial as it is in our modern history and in our society, which is a good thing, but it still existed. And God didn't say it was okay. But he's trying to work with the hearts of the people who are involved in it. And actually, I got to tell you this. God does the same here in Ephesians 6, not just with slaves and masters. He applies the very same thing, the very same heart language to parents and children. And so here's the message. This is it. If you get nothing else from today, write this down. Okay? This is what God is saying. How much a person believes in and loves God and practices his word, how much you do that really determines how well you treat other people in your family and anywhere else. God comes first, and then that comes later. He says that to slaves. He says it to slave owners. He says it to kids. So, what does he say to slaves? He says to slaves, if you do not believe that, what I just said, that how much you love God determines how well you treat others, he says to slaves, if you don't believe that, then as a slave, you're not going to honor and obey your master when they're not looking, because it doesn't matter. And masters, if you don't believe that, then you are going to act cruelly and harshly and unfairly to your slaves in a way that God does not approve. Children, if you don't believe that, what are you going to do? You're going to disobey and dishonor your parents when they're not looking, because why does it matter? And parents, if you don't believe that, what are you going to do? You're going to act cruelly and harshly toward your kids. And we've all been there. I have. You have. In either of those. So, speaking very specifically, the Bible says this: fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. When was the last time you used exasperate in a conversation? What does that word mean? Honey, did you exasperate the kids? No, would you mind quick going up there and exasperating the kids before we go off? What does exasperate mean? Exasperate is from a Greek word that means to frustrate, to cause irritation, or to provoke to anger. So the Bible specifically addresses fathers, who the Bible says is the head of the household, but it applies to parents as well, and is saying, don't do this to your kids. Now, this is not saying that parents should not discipline their kids. So I saw a couple elbows from kids to mom and dad. Wait a minute. It's not saying you shouldn't discipline your kids, but it says, here's how you discipline your kids. You better do it in a way that you're not losing control of your anger. And it better be balanced and consistent and even-tempered and fair. Otherwise, you'll be exasperating them. Man, I'm a parent. How do you do all that? How do I do that consistently and get better at it? Here's how. This verse goes on, and the whole part of the chapter says this. What's important, parents, for how to operate in that way is just take one more step back and say, all right, overall, whose curriculum should I be using in my training and instructing of my kids? Who should I be reading? Who should I model my parenting after? Whose system of discipline is important in our home? Who makes all the difference? It's right there, you see it? It's right in this verse. Training and instruction of whom? Of the Lord. Who's in charge of your house? The Lord. That means that the Lord in your home and in your family and in his ways are more important than any mom blog. Mom blogs are good. God's better. More important than how your dad disciplined you. More important than where your grandparents grew up and their family traditions. More important than where your mom and dad go to church. It's all good. But what the Bible is telling us today is that first and foremost, our families are built on the Lord and even his guidance and his instruction for how we treat each other. So when we believe in and love him more, we'll treat each other and handle each other and forgive each other better also. So kids, one more question for you. And I love this part. Did it sneak past you? The very first word in Ephesians chapter 6, the very first word, I read it previously. There's a picture that I love of a dad praying over his child. It's nighttime. He's kneeling by the child's bed. The child's asleep, and there's kind of an open window behind him, and there's a breeze blowing like angels are shining in, or God. But what I like two things about that. The child has no clue what's happening right now. No idea. The child's asleep, and that's what kids should do. And they don't need to have a clue about everything. But the child has no idea of the beating heart of that child's father, of the powerful love and connection that this father has as he's kneeling over this child and just in deep prayer for them. It's so touching. And the reason the father is doing what he's doing is because he understands. He has no clue. He can't handle all the details. He can't be the dad that he knows he's supposed to be. And so what is he doing? He's going to his father. He's going to the Lord. He's going to God. And he's saying, God, help me be the dad that my child needs me to be. And what am I going to do about this? And how am I going to do? And you see that? The levels of the child has no clue about the details, and the father does, but then doesn't have clue about these details. But God does. And the love that is passed down and the guidance that is passed down, that is why God tells you, call me Father. I don't expect you to have all the details about your life perfectly ironed out. I don't expect you to know everything that about me, the vast God of the universe. You don't have to know that. I just want you to know that you are loved. As your heavenly Father, I have adopted you into my family. Sinner that you are, I've made you mine in baptism. I've said your name. And now I am yours and you are mine and you are forgiven. And you're in my family. And when you know you are in God's family and that you are loved by God, that makes all the difference in your family and your relationships too. That's a message in Ephesians 6. God loves you. God loves your kids. God loves your family. God forgives you. God forgives your spouse. God forgives your parents. God forgives your family. So how can it be a family that makes healthy changes? How can you come away from today and say, boy, that's that Ephesians 6, that it has something for us. I want to make a difference. How can you do that? It's very simple. Just know how close you are to God and get closer to God. And when you do, you'll get closer with your family too. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me say a prayer. Heavenly Father, you promise us your love, and you love it when we come to you in prayer and we call you our Father. Thank you for these words from Ephesians, for this time that we've had together today in your word. We believe your promises. We confess our sins and our insufficiencies. We confess that we are finite and we don't know all the details. We don't have everything that it takes. And so we rely on you. And we feel good about simply knowing your love, knowing that we are loved always, and ask that as we believe in that and live in your love, that we can show that love to others too. We pray this prayer in the loving, living name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thanks again for listening to Tell Podcasts. Tell's mission is simple: teaching you the real gospel so you can teach others. Remember, truth brings peace. For more about Tell, visit us on Facebook or at tellnetwork.org.